and record this because they need me to record it. So here's what we're going to do. I just want you to kind of go through. I'm going to talk about myself just for a second so you know who I am, and then we'll get into this. So like I said earlier, my name is Joseph, and I've been in ministry for 14 years. I have a 9-year-old son who loves baseball and his friends at school, and he loves Minecraft. So those are the big three things he's in right now. And I have a daughter. I have a daughter that is 5 years old. She loves her preschool right now. She loves dance, ballet, tap. She loves gymnastics, and she wants to play basketball in the fall. So that's just kind of who Nolan and Corley are their names. I love my children. And so my wife and I have been married for 15 years. We're really excited. Our marriage anniversary will be in September, and I'm taking her to Disneyland. Not world, land. So we're going to go check that out. We're big Disney fans. So here's what I want you to do as we jump into this. That's just a little bit about me. I went to Lipscomb University, I majored in graphic design, and now I'm in ministry. But what today is the hardest thing for you to do is to look at yourself. Because what I want you to do for a minute is to take care of your fingerprint first. Because what we're going to do is we're going to be talking about social media, we're going to be talking about technology, we're going to be talking about all the things in the world that can be a danger, but also can be really, really good if we use them for the right things. And the reality is, a lot of times it's so quick for us to point at somebody else. Like you're like, oh, well, she, you know, really has this problem, or he, I know what he looks at night. And then all these different things happen in your brain. And I want to challenge you right now to really look at your life and no one else's. Because that's what I also challenged your parents earlier for. Bless you. I challenged your parents to say, look at their cell phone habits, not yours. Because a lot of times it's easier for parents to go, well, I'm going to fix my kid's life tonight after I heard this guy with a red beard come in and talk about this stuff. But the reality is you got to look at yourself first before you can look at anybody else. So I'm actually going to skip this video. This is a video that's about technology and stuff. But I want you to think about this. Does anyone really know the best strategy for technology? Have you heard anything that's just like mind-boggling, amazing, that's like the best strategy for technology? No. That's exactly right. No. So even the things that I'm going to mention to you tonight, I hope that you can take them and be creative, because I do believe that your generation is really, really, really creative. And coming from a guy that does graphic design for a lot of people on the side, like, I want you to know that I believe in your generation tremendously, and I believe that you know how to create in ways that have never been created before, because we all are created by the ultimate creator, our Heavenly Father. And so with that, I think that some of these strategies that we're going to be talking about could help you, and some of them you might need to tweak a little bit and say, all right, I like that, but here's another idea. And I think that you have that power. You possess that power, and I want to empower you to say, all right, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. So here's just some did you knows. Did you know that 45% of parents say that they feel addicted to their own devices? That's almost 1 in 2. That's parents. I'm not talking about you guys yet. That's parents feel like they are addicted to devices. 1 in 4 parents argue with their kids about a mobile device every single day. How many of you, by a show of hands, hear your parents say, put that down, turn that off, get off that, put it away, go charge it, whatever it might be? All of us. We hear it all the time. And then 29% of kids say they keep their device in bed with them at night. How many of you sleep with your phone underneath your pillow? Anybody? A few of you. Okay. All right. How many of you sleep with your phone next on your bedstand, next to you? A lot of you. Okay. So here's the reality of that. What's the last thing you do before you close your eyes? Set your alarm. Looking at your phone. Turn your ringer off. On. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Your alarm still works with it ringer off. Yeah, that's true. All right, so here's the reality. What's the first thing you do in the morning when you get up? Look at the time. You get your phone out. You maybe look if you got any notifications. Right? So a lot of times the last thing you do might be a screen in front of your face, and the first thing you do in the morning is a screen in front of your face. Do you think that's the most healthy way for your eyes to receive something on a daily basis? It's not. It's actually creating sleep deprivation. It allows you to actually lose the ability to have what they call as REM sleep, to be able to actually fall into a deep sleep, because you're thinking, maybe my mom calls me, maybe I get a text message from a friend, maybe I'm getting a notification, maybe my alarm, I set it for the wrong time and I'm not going to wake up in the morning. You know, all these different things happen through your mind, and if you're able to actually go to sleep and rest, you're actually going to be healthier, a healthier version of who you are. So here's one more stat for you to understand. Eighth graders who are heavy users of social media increase their risk of depression by 27%, while those who play sports, go to religious services, or even do homework more than the average teen cut their risk significantly. So here's the reality. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many of you know someone that's struggling with depression? Struggling with, you don't have to raise your hand. You know someone that's struggling through anxiety, struggling through maybe like they got caught up in some type of communication error that, you know, now it's a he said, she said conversation, and they sent the wrong picture at the wrong time. They sent the snap for one more second than they thought they should have, and then the screenshot happened. Maybe they're watching you through your Finsta accounts, and they're just thinking, oh, that is exactly what who she wants to be or who he wants to be. And a lot of this time, we send these things as just jokes. Y'all live in the meme culture that everything has to be funny. Everything has to be entertaining. But the reality is people are losing scholarships. People are losing jobs. People are losing the ability to understand what it means to actually be funny because they are caught up in what they think is what is funny. But the reality of funny is relative to the person that's receiving it, right? So if you're sending it to somebody else, there's been meme scandals out in very prestigious colleges where students got kicked out because they went one step too far with one meme, and that's it. They lost everything. Everything, because it was on their phone. And the other crazy thing when it comes to this type of stuff is most of you, not all of you, but most of you are under the age of 18. So therefore, if you have anything on your phone that actually is sexually explicit of anyone else that's close to your age, you are in content and possession of two words we hate to hear, child pornography. And that those two words can cause you to go to jail. And that's just the reality of the world we live in. And we think of it as innocent fun. We think of it, oh, I'm just trying to get their attention. I'm just trying to say something for them to catch their eye so they will notice me a little bit more. Because we have a problem a lot of times with our own self-esteem. We don't know what it means to actually stand up and live for what you are called to be and what God's creating you to be, but we live through the lens of how everyone else views us. Do y'all kind of agree with that a little bit? Do you agree that, you know, we're kind of trying to live for somebody else rather than living for ourselves sometimes? And living for ourselves is a big, big movement, but that's not actually who we live for. Like, God calls us to glorify Him in every way possible, and the reality of that can seem difficult because no one else is doing it. And we don't know how to do it, so we want to give you some kind of examples. So here's just an evaluation of how you actually look at your social media. Recognize whether or not you are public or private on your social media. If you're 18 or older, I challenge you to be public because hopefully you're not posting anything that someone else isn't willing to print out, put on a frame, and hang it on their bedroom wall. That sounds gross, and it is. But if you're posting something that someone else would want to keep forever, you might need to stop posting that. Like, post the stuff that's actually displaying something good in your life, joy in your life, and not just selfies of you in front of a mirror all the time. Number two, how far is your digital reach? Recognize actually how are you connecting with people that are in proximity of you? Like, do they go to school just down the road, or do they live close to you? Or are you connecting with people only that are famous, only that are far away, only that are in other countries, other states, whatever it might be? Recognize your digital reach, because what you post does matter. And even though you approve people that are strangers, that doesn't mean you know who they are. These people could be somebody you never have met before, but they know everything about you because you gave them access to your digital library. And that can be difficult sometimes. And last but not least, why do you post what you post? If you've ever really questioned yourself, like, why do I send that? Why do I post that? Like, why was that my last Instagram post? Why did I do the Renegade? Like, whatever it might be, like, why do I want to do that? Like, everything, like all of that stuff. Like, why in the world do we want to do it? Think about it. Like, why do we want to do it? To get noticed. For others, someone else to say, oh, well, he's good at it, or she's good at it, or they're terrible at it. Like, all of these different things. Think about the reason why. That's one of my challenges for you. Think for a second and say, why am I doing this? Why am I constantly, you know, doing all these dance moves when I am just trying to prevent, you know, publicly post something for someone else to see that it doesn't really change who I am? So think about that stuff. So how you describe technology absolutely matters. A lot of times you might hear this, your parents or grandparents say, oh, technology's awful, right? Snapchat's from the devil. Like sometimes people say all these different things, and they say all these bad things, but I think that there's a better story to be told. I think a lot of times we can use technology for something great, something to connect with people. Maybe you're thinking of somebody at your school or in this youth group that you know is connected to very little people, and you have a chance to connect them to something they've never been connected to before, and that's something that's greater than what we consider to be just sitting next to them, but what we call a friendship. Like a lot of times we have digital friends, you know what I mean? Like people we follow and people we watch and people we, you know, we celebrate by clicking like and doing all that fun stuff. But the reality is when you start to celebrate friends like face to face, you feel more wanted. You feel like you're a part of something. You feel like you're included, and everyone wants to feel included. I don't care who you are. Even if you're the most introverted person in the world, when they walk into this room and they sit in the back chair, they still want to feel included. And a lot of times you are the holder of their inclusion. But you have to really realize that you're worth putting something down, walking into a room, putting your phone down and say, hey, I'm just going to go say hi to her because I haven't said hi to her tonight. We have a girl in our youth group. Her name's Natalie. She's an amazing, amazing girl. For the first year and a half she was in youth group, she never said a word. She would come down, she would sit down, and she never, ever, ever said a word. Her parents forced her to come to our church, and she sat down in a chair. And I just said, hey, Natalie. She kind of just barely looked at me and looked back down. And so every single time, that was very difficult to me. So I had to be creative in the way that I would talk to her. So I would walk down. We have a dinner on Wednesday nights before our classes start. And I was walking down the stairs to our youth center with her. And I said, Natalie, how are you doing? She just kind of looked at me. She kind of kept her head down. And I said, she was eating a roll. Surprisingly, from dinner. And I said, Natalie, did you do anything different today that you didn't do yesterday? Just kind of shook her head no and just kept walking. I said, I bet you didn't eat a roll while walking downstairs in a church yesterday, did you? And she just looked at me and smiled. That's it. Didn't say a word. And I was like, I'm in. You know, that's all I needed. I needed to know that she knew that I was present with her in that moment. She didn't need me to say, hey, look at this. Did you see this funny thing? Hey, have you seen this meme? Hey, blah, 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 blah. She needed me to look at her and actually talk to her and recognize that she was there. And in that moment, now Natalie comes into class, and she is amazing. She says this youth group has transformed who she is because she wants to be something bigger than she ever thought she was. Amazing. And you hold the key to those conversations. How you describe inclusion matters, and how you include people even digitally on social media absolutely matters. Here's just a reminder: technology is not a full-time babysitter. Just so you know, I actually when I ask someone to watch my kids, and this is for, you know, guys can be babysitters too if they need to be, but girls, I kind of say, hey, can I see your phone? And if they show me their phone and it's like cracked and about to fall apart, I'm like, I don't want you to watch my kids. If you can't hold your phone, you can't hold my child. You know, like it's just one of those things like that. You just got to be careful. So just be aware of like people are watching those type of things. Like taking care of things actually matters sometimes too. So just be aware of that kind of stuff. And here we're going to jump into this stuff just so you know what's going on. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, you know what all that stuff is. Here is the social media timeline of when they came out. How many of you were born in 2004? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. That's when Facebook was created. So, yes, you're as old as Facebook. That's awesome. So Facebook came out for colleges only, if you didn't know that. Facebook was created for colleges. And then YouTube was created in 2005 to kind of keep the videos off of Facebook, but now they're kind of intertwined back together. And then March 2006, Twitter came out. Twitter is kind of does this a lot of times with people. Some people love it. Obviously, the President of the United States loves it. He's all over it. But then March 2006, that's the most political I'll get about out of anything. October 2010, Instagram came out. Instagram, did you know this? It's completely owned by Facebook. Completely. 100% owned by Facebook. They bought it out, and now they own every right to it. So everything you do on Facebook is directly linked to Instagram. Instagram is directly linked to Facebook. Even though you can turn that off, it is possible that they watch the same things that you're posting on both sides. Snapchat came out super, super sneaky. I call it sneaky Snapchat because what happened is the creators of this were two like early 20-year-old dudes. And what they said, this is what's kind of scary about Snapchat. What they said was they cannot guarantee that every single picture taken and sent through Snapchat will permanently be deleted. It says that in the fine print. So for a lot of people, they're like, what? Seriously? And so what happens is you take pictures, it goes up into the World Wide Web, it goes to their servers in an undisclosed location. I don't know where Snapchat keeps their servers. And then it goes from their servers back to the World Wide Web and then goes to the person you sent it to. And then that's when they view it. And then even though it goes off their phone, if you chose 1 second to infinity, whatever you choose in those moments, or if you put it on your story or not, like it says, even after 24 hours, after you put it on your story and it's gone, it still cannot be permanently deleted. It is like finding a needle in a haystack, but it is on their servers, and it says it in the fine print on their website. Now, here's another story. This is just to kind of put in perspective. When I was an intern back in 2000 and, oh man, I think 03, somewhere around there, I was working for a church, and I went on a mission trip to Jamaica, and I took a camera with me to kind of just film all these different things that were going on. And back then, they filmed on these little like SD card things that were like not like phones, like gigabyte stuff inside there. So that I had this camera, and I put it in my car, and somebody broke into my car, and they stole my camera, and they stole everything else that was in my car. I had a checkbook in there, which I don't use that anymore. They stole my CD player and all that stuff out of my car. So all this happened a long time ago. Keep that in perspective, a long time ago. So fast forward 3 months later, I'm a junior in college, and I get a phone call from the Nashville Police Department, and they said, sir, we found the people that stole your stuff, and we need you to come down to the precinct to take a look at the stuff and make sure it's yours. So I was like, okay, that's great. And so I get down there, and they said, hey, they used your camera to film everything that they stole everywhere else. So like they used it to just kind of use it as this thing to film everything. Like, they stole motorcycles. They stole, you know, all these different things from all these different places. And they used it. And they said, so we got to use your camera in the court of law just for a minute, but then we'll send you everything that was recorded on it. And I said, I thought you said they recorded all of the stuff over my stuff. And they're like, yeah, they did, but we can get it back. And I said, really? And they said, yeah. I mean, we have people that go around, and their only job is to recover deleted files. And I've got friends that make big, big money, because that's all they do. They go into big corporations, and they try to find the fault in the system. And they go in, and that's their only goal, is to say, let's recover everything that's ever been deleted. Just because it's digital, if it's digital and it was connected to the World Wide Web, there's a chance that it's out there somewhere. And that's scary for some people. Some people are like, oh, no. And some people are like, I never knew that. Because the reality of this is, like, if I take my key to my car and I smash it and destroy it right now, like, then I know that I don't have a key to my car anymore, because it's physical. It's right here. But if it's digital and you're like, oh, delete, well, how do you know someone else didn't screenshot it? How do you know if somebody else didn't actually get it from somebody else? And how do you know that they didn't actually film it before it went away? Like, there's so many ways around the systems that you never know who has what you said was private between you and somebody else. And you've got to be aware of that. And that's not me just trying to, like, scare tactic you. It's me trying to show you the reality of the messed up world that we live in. People are really quick to steal anything all the time because they want to be able to be the owners. Look what I have. They want to be the next viral video. Look what I screen captured. Look what I video recorded on my screen. Look what I took from this person, even if it's not yours. Because if you think about it, how many of you actually ask somebody else, hey, can I post this before you post it? You rarely do that. Because you're sending out a picture that you look good in. I always find it funny when it's birthday time and people post the pictures of other people, but they look really good, but the birthday girl or guy is kind of like, that just looks random. Like, it just looks like a regular person. But you make sure you look good before everyone else looks good in those scenarios. And that's tough because we're so self-absorbed at times. Because if you think about Instagram, who does it represent? You. Exactly. You're not holding the account to your family. Like, what's your last name? Jaeger. All right, so let's just say, like, let's say, what's your first name?
Maria.
Let's say Maria holds the Jaeger family Instagram account, and she just runs the whole thing, okay? Like, you're not doing that. You're holding your Instagram account that represents you, so you want all the pictures to be about you. But what if you spent maybe 3 months, maybe a month, and you only posted really beneficial pictures of other people in your life that you're thankful for, but you weren't in the picture? Like, would you ever think about that? A lot of times that's a challenge because you're like, but it's my account. That's who I am. I need people to know about me. But the reality is we're becoming so self-absorbed that we lose track of what it is that God is able to do through us in those moments. So here's just some quick facts. Facebook reaches 60.6% of all internet users. 90% of 18 to 44-year-olds access YouTube on a daily basis. Twitter consists of 34% female and 66% male. 4.2 billion likes per day on Instagram. That's a lot. Snapchat users spend 26 minutes per day on the app. That's per day, so that's a long time throughout your lifespan. And 41% of TikTok users are the ages 16 to 24. So that's almost half of TikTok is between 16 and 24. So here's what I want you to do. So this right here proves the fact that it's obviously in the world. It's out there. Things are happening on all social media platforms. But how many of you have ever thought you might? You don't have to raise your hand. So you two guys, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you think you might have somewhat of an addiction quality to something that you have a device with? Something like an account. Yeah, thanks for raising your hand, but you don't have to. But I appreciate that. All right, that's good. So here's what I want you to understand. We have got to learn how to practice more limitations, not just eliminations. Now keep this in mind. I shared this same slide with your parents. And a lot of times parents are like, oh, let's just pull the plug to the whole entire house and not have any electricity at all. But that's not what I'm challenging you to do. I'm challenging you to know that the more limitations that you can live life without it will actually help you to have a healthier mindset. I mean, this world is loving the term self-care right now. We love to talk about self-care. We got self-care. We got a Netflix and chill, right? All these different things that people say that mean different things. But the reality is with this, we've got to practice more limitations than just eliminations. So if you are on a social media account, okay, and you're thinking, okay, how many hours do I spend on it? You can find that out. There's a thing called screen time that's built into your phone. And I challenge you to utilize screen time. For me, this is just how I practice it. From 11 p.m. to 7:30 a.m., my phone is completely off. Not turned off, but it's completely all screen time stuff. Everything's turned off. The only people that can reach me during that time are people that are in my favorites. That's my parents, my wife, and a couple other people. That's it. So the reality of this is you have the ability to do that if you have an Apple product. It's built into the phone and it's free. It's so easy. And I challenge you to try that. Maybe you try it for a certain time frame. They always say that the people that this used to be a stat, but it's changed now. But to the people that actually try to go and look for anything of pornographic material is between the time of 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. because that's when school is over and before the parents get home. But now the actually stats are saying it's between the time they go to bed and between the time they wake up. Because they have devices in their hands at night in a private room with the door closed. Back in the day, I remember before my wife and I had kids, we used to babysit some kids, and I haven't babysat another kid until after having children. But the reality was, I would go to this kid's house, and I don't remember his name. This is a long time ago, but he was playing around. He's probably 10 years old, and I said, and I went into his room, and he had a big screen probably this big on his wall. He had an Xbox, he had a PlayStation, he had a Wii back then, all this stuff connected there. He had an iPad, remember the old iPad? And then he had a MacBook on his bed. And I said, dude, what happens when you get in trouble? He goes, my parents made me go to my room. I said, oh, I'm sorry. That's all of this stuff's in there. But here's the reality. Some of you are laughing about that, but the reality is some of you have a lot of that stuff. You have the ability to have unlimited, the Wi-Fi is really good in your room. Or you're on 360 or you're playing whatever it is that you want to play at night. I know Fortnite was huge for a while, but it's not as much anymore. I'm sorry. But the reality is a lot of us have access to unlimited access. And we've got to be able to put some limitations on stuff, and that's on you. I just want to challenge you to be able to do that yourself. And if you make that decision, I promise you it'll help you in the long term of your life. Because those that are older, some of these people right here, as you go off to college, it's only going to be more accessible. It's going to be easier, and you're going to have more out there that you're not going to know how to handle. And I challenge you to try to handle it now before you get into a space that is unlimited. So so that we'll skip that for a second. This is one thing I try to challenge every student group with. It's called SIFT. SIFT stands for, which I could change this actually to TikTok right here, but SIFT stands for Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Sift through social media accounts and reduce the meaningless and increase the meaningful. So just for a second, think about who you follow. Think about, do you know everyone you follow? Think about whether or not the people you follow are actually, you follow them just because they're famous and you want to be in the know, or do you know them? Do you physically know them? On Twitter, I challenge myself to have just 99 people, not follow 99 people, because you can't actually follow more than your brain can comprehend for your feed. Now, here's the challenge as a teenager. A lot of times, you feel the need to follow somebody because they followed you. You can unfollow them if it's just meaningless. And they're not going to know it. It doesn't really matter. And they can dig and try to figure it out. But the reality is, I challenge you to follow more meaningful things, things that actually give you purpose to life rather than just filling your content. But think about this just for a second. Your mind is looking at a feed, right? So if I pulled up Instagram on my phone right now and just started flipping through it, I would probably see something that's like really special to somebody. Then I would see something that's probably making fun of somebody. Then I would see something that could be really, really sad. And then something super funny, like the next one. And your emotions don't know how to handle that fast. Oh, that's sad. Oh, that's funny. I probably should pray for them. Oh, that's disgusting. And you just keep going, like all of this stuff. And you're just constantly going through this emotional state that if you don't think you can handle emotions on a regular basis, that's not helping you at all. And think about it this way. The last time you were really upset, maybe at your parents, or maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend had a fight, or maybe you did really bad on a test, or you had a bad event at school, what do you normally do to cope? Cry. What else? Go to sleep. Listen to music. Anybody listen to music? Yes. So here's what happens. When the hard moments of life come at you, a lot of us try to distract ourselves from ever experiencing that emotion. So I thank you for saying cry, because the reality is, if we don't allow our emotions to actually be an emotion and then move on to the next thing, we're concealing the ability of our own heart to be able to grow one day. We're not allowing our hearts and our minds to connect, and we're trying to actually distract our lives and our minds from experiencing what we call emotions. Anxiety is a real thing, and everyone experiences it. Everyone does. But when anxiety takes the driver's seat of your car and starts saying, hey, I'm in control now, that's when it becomes a problem. And so I'm here to just challenge you and to let you know there are better ways and better solutions to move forward from this. This next statement, I don't want you to receive it as a shaming statement. I really want you to receive it as like just a question to think. But like, do others gain insight or lose sight of God when they connect with your social media story? Do others gain insight or lose sight of God? Now, here's the reality. A lot of times when people start talking about like, oh, you should post more like spiritual things, it's not just trying to get the right sunlight for a Bible verse and say, look at me, I'm the best Christian in the world. It's just being joyful about what God is doing in your life. Like honoring other people. Like if you have a friend that's like a great friend, put something up on your story and say, hey, I'm thankful for them, and make sure you're not in the picture. Because you look at yourself more than you look at somebody else sometimes. So just kind of recognize that. Drake wrote a song called Emotionless. It says, I know a girl whose one goal was to visit Rome. Then she finally got to Rome, and all she did was post pictures for people at home. Because all that mattered was impressing everyone she's known. It's good. It's good stuff. So that's the reality. Is a lot of times we fall into that trap right there. We are living for someone that we don't even know. We're trying to post something for people that we never even met. And that's detrimental. That kind of hurts our brain development. How old are you when your brain stops developing? Is anyone? 25. 25. Good job. So 25 is the age for when your brain starts developing. So here's the thing. Even though some of you are younger in this room, we all are exposed to some type of mature content, and our brains is not, this is not a bash at you at all. This is just a reality. but our brains are not mature enough to be able to process mature content. We don't know how to process something that we think we're older than we actually are. And I promise you, there's a reason why the world said it was 18 to go to rated R movies. There's a reason why the world said it was 21 to be able to do certain things. There's a reason why the world told us that there are restrictions on these things. And if we don't follow the world, then I think we should be able to follow what Christ is telling us to allow our eyes and our ears and our brains to receive in those moments. So here's just a few things I want you to know before we kind of close out. Here's some ways that social media can hurt us. It provides a platform for people to feel safe to share and free to destroy. Social media can hurt us when it's an instant response rates create short tempers and shorter attention spans. How many of you got mad when your phone dies? A lot of us do. Social media can hurt us when the fame outweighs the influence of being an influencer. How many of you have heard anybody say, when I grew up, I want to be a social media influencer? Yeah, so many people want to do that now. But the reality is, it's kind of like being the next NBA basketball player. Like, it's tough to be able to do that, but you've got to be able to follow through with a lot of things that may not follow your morals. Life stories are shared with strangers more than close family members. And here's just a few more. Depression controls the mind game of digital comparison. When you start comparing your life to somebody else and you say, oh, their life's better than mine. Oh, their life's better. Oh, they got all the cool stuff. I don't have anything. That starts kind of creating depression in your brain. Entertainment becomes our daily dose of taking care of ourselves. Think about that for a second. When you're exhausted and tired, I'm not saying entertainment is wrong and evil, but I'm just saying the first thing we do every single day is like, I just got to finish that show. You know, I just got to watch, listen to that song. Oh, she sent me this thing. I've got to watch it. Oh, he told me that this is really good. I've got to watch it. Everyone says I got to watch this. I got to be able to talk about this at school tomorrow because everybody else is talking about it, and I haven't watched a single episode. I don't even know what's going on. So entertainment becomes our daily dose of taking care of ourselves. Every moment of life must be documented to prove who you are. A lot of times you're like, hey, pick or it didn't happen. You know, like just kind of all these different things are being said, and it's convincing you like, hey, that's real. Is that real? Yeah, show me a picture. Show me a picture. I don't believe it. But we live in a world of Photoshop that nothing can be viewed as real almost anymore. And infinite scrolling disrupts our ability to fall asleep at night. So there's two new things that that Instagram is trying. I don't know if you've heard about this or not. Instagram is looking at eliminating infinite scrolling. So you actually reach a bottom when you start scrolling. And you're like, oh, so what do? You're like, I guess I'm done. You know, you don't know what to do. Also, they are looking at, this is in trial base right now. They're looking at, I'd love to hear your opinion on this, but they are looking at eliminating likes. Now listen, hold on. They are looking at eliminating likes for everyone else to see, but only if you post a picture, you can see how many likes you receive, but you cannot see what anyone else received. Would that change your desire to have an Instagram account? That's what you would say right now. But that's the reality is a lot of times we like something because either it has a ton of likes or it has a few likes and you're thinking, I'm doing a good deed. I'm liking something. Yeah.
That's how Visco is.
Yeah. Right. And Visco usually is connected to Instagram a lot of times. Not always, but a lot of times. But that, and the other thing that you might not know, this is kind of like the logarithm that TikTok uses. If you have a TikTok account, just be aware of this. Even if you don't like it or don't share it, but you allow it to be viewed on your phone more than 3 times, it remembers that. Because if you look at the actual buttons on the right-hand side, they will change after you let it play 3 times or more. And it remembers that, and it follows you, and it says, oh, you liked this. Even if it was vulgar, and you're like, that's not who I am, but you watched it 3 times, it remembers that in the bottom right-hand corner, even though you didn't hit like or you didn't hit share. And that can just be kind of just letting you know how it remembers who you are and what you like. So all of those things, unless you pay for it, you don't have any control over it. You have no control over any of the apps that you don't pay for. So how to respond? This is what I want you to challenge you with tonight. And hopefully we've got 2 more things and we'll be done. Find a consistent time of day to not have your phone. This is just a challenge. This is not something that you're like, okay, he's telling me just to throw my phone in the garbage. That's not what I'm saying. Find a consistent time of day to not have your phone, whether it be at a meal, at bedtime, or at church. Turn off notifications from your app that you from the app you use the most. If you're like, I can't get over this. My brother, he loves everything, and don't get me wrong, I like sports too. But his phone notifications are constantly just ding 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 ding. He gets updates on every single sport in the world. Like it's like, oh wow, cricket just happened. You know, like, well, I don't even watch cricket, and this it just pops up. So for the reality of him. Is I challenge him to turn off the notifications of the app you use the most and just say, oh, I'll look at it when I have chance, not because I have a little red dot in the corner. Utilize the screen time settings that we talked about earlier. Find someone new to be friends with that you don't follow online. This is just a challenge. It's just to be the ability to look out and say, who am I friends with that I know that they don't have an account? One of our students that graduated a couple years ago has never, ever, ever had an Instagram account, and he's still alive and doing okay. And he is surviving very, very, very well. Just got to be aware of that. And then last but not least, take a day away from your phone, turn it off, and experience life. One of the things I recently heard was today's teenagers actually have anxiety from experiencing silence. You don't know how to do it. It's real, right? Like, they're like, all right, now I need everyone to go into this room and be silent for 1 minute. And everyone's like, I don't know if I can do it. I'm not really sure about that. Like, I mean, the reality is it's becoming nearly impossible. And that's just an excuse. That's all it is. Because you're filling your life with everything that's noise. And you don't know how to experience life without noise. It's hard. But I want you to know that the more that you practice silence, take a day away from your phone, turn it off, and experience life, the better you're going to be at life in general, long term. There's going to be a day that you're going to have a job. You might sit in a cubicle, and you might sit there by yourself for a long time. I don't want you to like think, oh, my life is terrible. I can't do anything because you didn't know how to experience silence before. So I challenge you, even tonight, like put your phone in another room. Actually try to not listen to music before you go to bed. Like turn off the lights, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be for you, just try to believe that your physical body, mind, and heart is able to do something that you think you are incapable of doing. And technology and social media and all this is convincing us of a falsehood of life that isn't always obviously true. So here's just some simple advice for you. Protect your eyes to strengthen your mind. Your friends post the very best versions of themselves. Keep that in mind when you get in the comparison trap. They're posting the best version of themselves. Not everything you discover online is true. Even if it's like a picture of somebody that died a long time ago and they have a quote next to it, doesn't mean they said it. Like I mean, a lot of times you're like, oh, that's, man, I didn't know that Alexander Graham Bell said that. You're like, no, he didn't. He didn't say that. Look it up. Not everything. It's okay to disconnect every once in a while. But here's the reality. I believe that teenagers plus social media does not always equal terrible. A lot of times parents think that, and I'm here to debunk that myth because you are capable of posting great things. I still believe, like I said at the beginning, you're the most creative generation to ever live in the history of the world. Utilize that creativity and do something great about it. And honor your parents and participate in what they love. My dad is a farmer, okay? Drives a big tractor, loves to do. I mean, we've got a big farm. He's got 60 head of cattle. Like, he's doing all the big things that a lot of times people are like, oh, that's cool. But I am a youth minister that's at a church talking about technology, and I have a degree in graphic design. Very different than my dad, right? But I still love to go and participate and honor what my parents love, what my dad loves. I still love to go to the farm and put on my muck boots and go out there with them and do whatever it is I need to do with my dad. So honor your parents. And I challenge them to honor what you love as well, because that's important. When they honor you, I hope that you will also honor them. So these are the last things, and then we'll be done. Technology ABCs. This is the scripture part. Be aware, be alert of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There are predators out there. There are people out there that are online that are looking to grab your attention. They want your attention. That's the reason why there's ads. They want you to buy their stuff. They want you to spend your money. They want you to like their post. Everything about that is tracking you all the time. Be aware that that is trying to grab and steal your attention. Number two, set limits. Now, discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Challenge yourself to set limits. Set a limit on one app. One thing that I want you to try to do is in the next 10 days, and I think a lot of us are probably capable of doing this, in the next 10 days, delete one app a day off your phone. A lot of you are like, I only have 10 apps. Well, if you only have 10 apps, congratulations, you don't have to play this game. But I think for the rest of you, try to delete one app a day for 10 days and see what you can do on that. So that's just setting limits. Last but not least, set aside. This I think is what we were talking about a minute ago that I think a lot of us struggle with. Very early in the morning, I am not a morning person, I'm a night person. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. When was the last time you went to a solitary place without any connection to the world? Go to a place, maybe it's in your house, maybe it's in your backyard, maybe it's just in your car or your parents' car, and like all the doors are shut but you don't have anything with you. Go to a place where you can be quiet for a minute and just be honest with our Heavenly Father. Be open with it. You don't even have to speak out loud if that terrifies you. Just say something and say, God, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I'm so lost in all of this, but I just need help. I promise you, when your heart is honest with God, he helps your heart every single moment. But you have to be patient in the process that God's timing is absolutely perfect and know that he has a great plan for you. Does that all make sense a little bit? Does that help out a little bit? That's all I've got. I appreciate all of you being here. Hopefully there was something that you took away from this moment. And we're going to go downstairs, and we're going to actually join your parents, and I've got a few slides to talk about downstairs. Thanks so much.